Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit our webpage at biblestudy.asbzone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes and various Bible study resources. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our study today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before you in prayer. We ask you to help us as we go through this study. Give us wisdom and understanding, and may we rightly divide your words of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's study is entitled, A New Commandment I Give Unto You. A New Commandment I Give Unto You. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also loved one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This part of the Bible, this is the section of John where Jesus is with his disciples, and Judas Iscariot has left to do his dealings, and Jesus is giving his disciples the last set of consolidated instructions before he goes to the cross. The prayer of Christ for his disciples is also going to be found here in a few verses, few chapters. This is also a section of the Bible that many people get confused about. Many Christians today look at this and say, aha, a new commandment I give unto you. That means that all the other commandments are old and therefore invalid, not necessary. This is the only commandment. That's a strange way to look at things, right? That's a strange way to look at things because that doesn't happen anywhere else in the Bible. There's no other place in the Bible where when God gives an additional commandment, all the previous ones are eradicated. The Israelites would have had a rough time if that was the way things were. Because if you look carefully throughout Exodus and Leviticus, and even Numbers, various situations arise where a new commandment or a new instruction is presented to them. And if that meant that they were always getting rid of the previous set of instructions, then God couldn't say anything to them after Mount Sinai. Think about this. God enumerated his law to them on Mount Sinai. Enumerated his law. He articulated it. They all heard it. Then Moses went up into the mountain and received all the statutes and judgments. All of the things that would guide them for the sacrificial system. All of the things that would guide them for the civil laws. There were some even health laws associated with it. All sorts of things that they were given. Moses comes back down and tells the people, okay, while I was up there, the Lord gave me these also. And imagine the people are like, oh, those are new, so we can just discard the Ten Commandments. Doesn't make any sense. Governments add new laws all the time. Unless a law specifically indicates that it is replacing a previous law, augmenting it, altering it, then a new law is just that, or another new law. An extra new law. But let's dig into exactly why this is a new commandment. Because on the surface, it doesn't look that new. Right? That's the other problem. When people say, love one another is the new commandment, Lord already said that. Way back in Leviticus, we were told that we had to love our neighbor. In his ministry, Jesus spoke about loving your neighbor. The Good Samaritan story is about loving your neighbor. What is different about this command that allows Christ to legitimately say that it is a new command, if in fact we always had instruction about loving our neighbor, loving one another? Here's what it is. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. That's not it. That's not all of it. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You need to love your brother and your sister in Christ as Christ loved you. As Christ has demonstrated his love to us, we need to demonstrate that love to others. Let's give you an illustration. Do you remember the parable of the guy that was forgiven a debt of 10,000 talents? And then he goes and holds somebody up for 100 pence. Okay? He went and held someone up for 100 pence. The thing that makes his sin so egregious is that he did not love his brother as the king had loved him. It would have been one thing if he had just accosted his debtor out of the blue and said, hey, you owe me, throw you in jail. The king had said, hey, guy, that was kind of excessive. Like, it was only this amount. Why'd you do that? That would be one thing. But the fact was, he had owed a far greater sum and it had been forgiven him. He had received grace and mercy and love. And he did not exhibit that the way he had been shown. It is true that Jesus gives us this commandment. What makes it new, because it was given in the Old Testament that we needed to love our neighbor, what makes it new is that Christ is saying, now that you have seen me demonstrate this love to you, you must love your brethren the way you have seen me demonstrate that love to you. And by doing this, all will know that ye are my disciples. I know in the King James it says, all men shall know, but men is supplied. Right? It's in italics and it's supplied. It really says, by this shall all know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Okay? Not just any random love, not just a talk about it love, but a love that looks like the love of Christ. The way that Christ loves us, the way that he's patient with us, the way that he takes care of us, the way that he forgives us and encourages us and educates us. We have to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's what makes this new. Christ could not say this at the beginning of his ministry. He couldn't issue this command at the beginning of his ministry and expect people to be able to do anything with it, because up to that time, they had not seen that love demonstrated in that way. They had seen plenty. We have had examples of people loving other people. Even the Good Samaritan story, as I said, is an example of someone loving, and Christ used it that way, right? When the guy says, who is my neighbor? Christ gives the whole story. And he says, who do you think was neighbor to him? And he says, oh, the guy that helped him. And Christ says, well, go and do likewise. So Christ could point to other places and say, in this sphere of existence, someone did it. And over here, someone did it. And over there, someone did it. But now, at the end of his ministry, he could say, here's an extra commandment for you guys. Here's a new commandment. Here's an additional commandment. Here's something I can say for the first time in human history. As you have seen me do as a human being, as you have seen me interact with people all around, that's how I want you to interact. That's how I want you to mingle with your brethren. Okay? He couldn't say that before. He could point to loving your neighbor. He could point to loving one another. He could point to treating your brother fairly. He could point to all of those things, and he did. If you look in the Sermon on the Mount, he issues those things. He talks about how not killing and not hating are associated. He says all of those things. But the new commandment, which is not just that ye love one another, but is that ye love one another as I have loved you, couldn't do that until the end of the ministry. That's why it's new. That instruction couldn't be given until he had demonstrated love to each one of us. So when we look at the new commandment, when we look at the commandments, when we look at the instructions from God, we need to understand as Christians, we're called to a higher level. We're not just called to love in a generic sense. We're not just called to be nice in a civil, social sense. We're called to manifest to one another the same quality of love that Christ exhibited, particularly to his brethren. But Christ loved everyone. He didn't only love the Jews. He didn't only love his disciples. He loved everyone. His interactions with everyone show love. In fact, Christ was so loving that we are often shocked when we look at, for instance, his interaction with the Syrophoenician woman. Right? There's this whole, whoa, where's this going? Like, his responses seem kind of off. Like, where's this going? How's this operating? Christ manifested such love that any deviation or apparent deviation from that gets us kind of waiting and looking. Whereas the Syrophoenician woman, as an example, saw through that facade of roughness or lack of concern. She saw that there was love there, and she pushed through to receive it. God has given us a new commandment, but it's a new commandment based on his demonstration in person of a very old commandment. The Apostle John goes out of his way to establish that God is love, that God exhibits love, that God manifests love. Paul talks about how much love God manifested for us in that he sent Christ to die for us while we were sinners. He didn't wait until we said, hey, can you help us out of this sin thing before he orchestrated his plan. He set that plan in motion before we were looking for it. He set that plan in motion before we needed it. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your love. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness to us. We thank you for the demonstration of your love. We thank you for the demonstration of grace. We thank you for the life, death, resurrection, and ministry of Christ. We ask you, Lord, to please help us, forgive us, direct us, and keep us. We pray these things in Jesus' blessed name. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. Remember, you can find Rightly Divide the Word of Truth on Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you normally obtain your podcasts. And be sure to check out the True Wisdom Bible Study Podcast, which is done in a discussion format. You can reach us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. We look forward to hearing from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns. We appeal to you as Paul appealed to the Thessalonians. Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study and share his holy word.